You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
So all prosecutors have a burden of proof in criminal cases, but they may have to contend with a burden of when in capital cases in the state of California after a federal judge threw out the death sentence of Ernest Dwayne Jones, who was sentenced to death in 1992 for the rape and murder of his girlfriend's mother. U.S. District Judge Cormac Carney ruled that the death penalty was unconstitutional because in Jones' case, the court believes that the lack of certainty over if and when his execution will take place constitutes cruel and unusual punishment. The ruling did not make a statement on the constitutionality of the death penalty itself. Joining me to explain the decision and to talk about it and to see what it could mean for the future of the death penalty and for how lawyers approach capital cases in the state of California is Gil Garcetti, former Los Angeles County District Attorney. Gil Garcetti, it's great to talk to you again.
Thank you, John. Good to talk with you.
So does this really establish, at least in the Jones case, a burden of when that the prosecutor basically has to have some window of time when this execution would actually take place? Otherwise, it constitutes a kind of torture session for the district judge, Cormac Carney, ruling here?
Well, I think what it does is, first of all, this is a historic ruling. To our knowledge, there is no federal district judge any place in the nation that has ever declared a particular state's death penalty law unconstitutional on these grounds. And that is that it's a dysfunctional administration of justice that leads to inordinate and unpredictable periods of delay. It goes on, the actual decision itself says, at this point, given the fact that if, in fact, there's any execution, it could be 25, 30, 35 years from the time he was or she was convicted, that this execution will serve no retributive or a deterrent purpose, and it will be arbitrary, and therefore it amounts to cruel and unusual punishment.
Now, so, the alternative would be life without the possibility of parole, at least in your view or in the view of the lawyers arguing in this case?
Correct. In this case, in Mr. Jones' case, his particular case, unless it is appealed and reversed, is now his sentence will be life in prison without the possibility of parole.
Can I get a little philosophical with you, Gil?
Sure.
Now, I'm a middle-aged guy, right? So are you.
Yep.
We both know we're going to die, right?
We sure do.
We don't know the day or basically when, right?
Correct.
Is that cruel and unusual punishment, our situation?
No, it's not a cruel and unusual punishment in that situation because that is life. But when you have an individual who has been convicted of committing a horrific crime and is sentenced to death, you have to remember that there needs to be some predictability that's within the control of the state. And the blame that Judge Carney has placed is strictly on the state. They are the ones that have created, or the state is the one that has created this dysfunctional system. And to have someone on death row, frankly, leading a privileged life because he's not in the general population, is simply unacceptable. What he doesn't mention, but I will mention, is that it's this whole function, that the whole system, rather, is cruel and unusual to the family of the victims of the horrific murder. Uh-huh. Because they will have to wait 25, 30, 35 years before any decision is really made whether it's going to be execution. And with 900 people sentenced to death row, sentenced to death since 1978 when the law was implemented in California, only 13 have been executed. The vast majority of the people who have died in or while on death row have died of natural causes of old age.
Hmm. All right. So basically, Cormac Carney, the judge here, and I'm not a lawyer, but again, just go with me here. He's
sure.
Really... originating a kind of sort of Damocles doctrine in the sense that having this hanging over your head and over the head of your family constitutes a cruel and unusual punishment situation. And that's how it would be distinguished from just anyone who doesn't know when they're going to die but knows that, they are mortal.
Well, yes, but you leave out one factor, John, and that is the arbitrariness of the system. And under the United States Supreme Court, you cannot have an arbitrary system for the death penalty. There has to be predictability. There have to be standards on which a judge or jury makes the decision whether to impose the death penalty. And given the fact that only 13 people have ever been executed in California, and there's no likelihood of any executions in the foreseeable future, the judges concluded this is an arbitrary system put in place either intentionally or unintentionally by the state of California, and that violates the Eighth Amendment of the United States Constitution.
All right, so where do we go next? This is a district judge, and so this
Correct.
Applies to what part of California, and it will probably be appealed?
It might be appealed. It probably will be appealed. That's up to the state attorney general, and I'm assuming the governor will have some input there. If it is appealed, it will go to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal. If the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal affirms the decision saying that the judge was correct, then it applies to the entire state of California and there's no longer a death penalty. Most likely in that case, then, again, it's only the attorney general that has standing. The attorney general will then have to decide, do we appeal this to the United States Supreme Court or is that the end of it for California? There's no longer a death penalty.
And now, if it is appealed to the United States Supreme Court on this basis of uncertainty and this sort of Damocles doctrine that we're talking about here, it would raise the question of the constitutionality of the entire death penalty nationwide, in theory. Am I right there?
Well, yes, but you would have to have such a dysfunctional system as California has in other jurisdictions. And we have, in California, you have 748 people on death row. There's no other state that comes close to that number, even Texas.
So that means, and even Texas, because they have the most executions, so that means that if the Supreme Court decides that the chaos, as you describe it, in California is not replicated nationwide, they wouldn't take the case and it would continue to only apply to California.
Yeah, they could take the case anyway, but yeah, there's a chance they wouldn't take the case.
Bill Garcetti, former Los Angeles County District Attorney, who has sought the death penalty in his role as a DA, but is now against it. Gil, great to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
A lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.